and on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
First Christian Church, we're so glad that you found us here online and on Facebook today. It is a great Sunday morning to be together as a church family. We're so glad that you found us. Even if we are not together in the same space, we're still one church family here meeting virtually today. And so we give thanks to God for God's grace and peace to gather us and fill us and bless us during these times. We're grateful especially for your flexibility and your grace as the COVID-19 cases in our county are spiking at all-time high levels. We're grateful that even though we can't be together, we are still gathered as one body of Christ. And so we're thankful for that. As we gather for worship, a few things to note. Make sure that you have ready at your house whatever you will need for communion as we'll gather around the communion table later on in worship today. And so bread and juice or grapes and crackers and soda, coffee, whatever you have will be good as we celebrate communion as a virtual body of Christ later on in our worship service. There are still things happening in the life of our church. Even though we have paused in-person worship here for this Sunday, some of our small group gatherings and some of our classes are still meeting. And so if you are wondering if your group is meeting, give us a call or shoot us a note. We'll be happy to let you know if your class or if your group is meeting here during this time whenever in-person worship is on pause. There is still time to turn in your church commitment card. If you received it when we were in person a couple weeks ago, or you saw it on the back of the bulletin or on the back of our church caller a couple weeks ago, we are looking forward to what 2021 is going to bring us. And so our stewardship and finance committee is praying about our church finances for the next year. And so they would appreciate if we would turn in our commitment cards, or you can give us a call or shoot us a note and let our financial secretaries and bookkeeper know about our commitments for 2021. There are still spaces to sign up for the Salvation Army bell ringing December the 5th at Fairway. You can call the church office here and let us know if you'd like to sign up for an hour time slot. It's a great way to bring a little Christmas cheer to all the folks who are passing through Fairway on that Saturday, December the 15th, December the 5th. For as long as we can remember, we have held a church harvest dinner here in our congregation. It's always the Thursday before Thanksgiving Day, and it's kind of our kind of all church Thanksgiving dinner together as a congregation. And so even though we can't have it in person this year like we normally would in our fellowship hall, we're going to be having a takeout harvest dinner, a little drive-through harvest dinner on the 19th of November. It's a Thursday evening from 5 to 6:30. We're going to be offering takeout meals, and so tickets are $8. You can give us a call or shoot us a note if you'd like to reserve a spot for yourself. But we're glad that we can still offer this, even if we can't be together like we normally would in our church fellowship hall. Lastly, because of the COVID cases that are now higher than ever, last checked, our rate for our county is now over 20%, which is higher than our 15% threshold. We didn't have in-person worship today, and we won't have it the next two Sundays either, the 15th or 22nd of November. We're praying that they will go down, hoping they'll go down so that we can be back in the same space for worship by the 29th of November, which is the first Sunday in Advent. So that it will be a great day to be together back in church. And so we're hoping that the cases will go down between now and then over the next couple of weeks. And so no in-person gatherings for the next couple of weeks, but we'll keep on praying and staying safe so that we can come back together later on this month. It is good to be together as a church family, even though we're meeting virtually. So let's sing our first song together. The prince of
heart were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, deep as I stole my life.
The months have laid upon us prayers and concerns and joys. We bring it all together. We bring it to our Lord, who we know is always there with us. Let us go before God in prayer. Eternal God, we bow before you today in grateful remembrance. We are profoundly thankful for the gift of your Son, for his gift of eternal life. We thank you that in sending him to earth, you gave us a new way to connect to you as our God, a new way to live a life free of sin, and a new way to live lives of hope in our future. We pray that we would never take for granted that we have unending forgiveness in your eyes. Help us to fully realize what a profound blessing that is, and help us to live lives worthy of that blessing. Encourage us to share with others your goodness, your love, and your light. We pray today that you would make us people who are able to dream big dreams. Make us people who are able to make this a better world. Make us people filled with care and compassion. Make us people who tend to the sick, who care enough to feed the poor and to pray for the imprisoned. Make us people who are committed to justice. Stir in us the heart to work for the nation and the world to ensure equal opportunity for every person in the world. Make us a people who know how to love. We pray for our nation today. We see how deeply divided we are in so many ways, and we pray that we could seek out commonalities with our neighbor, that we would serve and love even those with whom we disagree. Through your word, we are called to love all people, and that includes those on other sides of the political divide. We continue to pray, as we do each time we seek you in prayer, that your peace would reign in our country and in our world. Help us to never put our hope and faith in any one individual person, no matter what promises are made. Help us to keep our faith and hope only in you, to trust that no matter what divisions are all around us, we are united as humanity through you. Bless us and calm the tensions that surround us in our country. We pray for the hard times that are upon so many in our country. We pray for your blessing on all those who are struggling, whether with health, with finances, with job security, food security, or any other hardship. We give you praise and glory and are thankful that you see us through even the darkest of days. God, we lift up those to you, those hundreds of thousands of people being diagnosed with COVID-19 each day. We pray that very, very soon a solution will be found and that we can work harmoniously as a country to ensure equal access to the solution. We pray that as much innocent life could be spared as possible, while also acknowledging that death is so sadly a part of this pandemic. We pray for families who are separated, for those who die alone without their families. We pray for those in care centers who are locked down and lonely, missing their loved ones, and sometimes not understanding the isolation they face. We pray that their days would pass in short order, and soon enough they would be reunited with their families. Heal us, O God. We pray your blessing on those who are making difficult decisions each and every day, including teachers and school administration and school boards. May we all think of our neighbor and their well-being as much or even more as we consider our own. We pray all of this, God, all of these huge prayers to you, the God of our world. We pray them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we turn in the Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Paul writes these words to the church at Thessalonica. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call and the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Thanks be to God for God's good word.
It's always very odd and weird to say it was a good funeral. I mean, having a good wedding is a normal thing is to say. Saying that it was a beautiful wedding, it was gorgeous, it was moving, it was just a spectacular experience. Those were the usual things that we would say about going to a wedding. We would even say, and we even do say, that it was a great day at work, it was a fine day at school, we got good grades, we got a lot done, we even checked everything off our to-do list, and we accomplished a lot. That's what we say about these normal events in life. But saying that it was a good funeral just seems a bit weird. In fact, I have this book on my bookshelf about pastors and funerals with the same exact title, The Good Funeral. And it was a good book, but it still feels weird to say, and it feels a bit strange to see it there on my bookshelf. But we've all been there, thinking about a good funeral. There can be something very good about going to a service, even in the hardest and most difficult of circumstances, going to celebrate the life of one that we've loved and cared for. We think that this is the case because sometimes it's good to say goodbye. If our loved one has been sick for a very long time and has been so difficult to watch them deteriorate and go downhill, it is so hard to watch someone suffer and be full of pain. When the day comes that they leave these chains of this earthly body behind and go home to the God of their creation, there's something lovely and freeing about that moment. In fact, in the African-American church tradition, they don't even call them funerals, these funerals. They call them home-going celebrations. It's a time to remember the person, to tell great stories about them, to remember their life well-lived and keep their memory alive, and know and celebrate that they have now gone home. That we'll miss them here upon this earth, of course. A large part of us isn't ready to say goodbye and have them gone, but they've gone home. As the Bible says, they've gone to a place where there is no more pain or crying or sadness anymore, that nothing can separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. It's almost like we're going home at the end. It seems weird to say, but funerals can be a good thing to say goodbye and have closure and know that the land of these troubles aren't the end of the story, that this isn't the end here upon this earth. And so since we've all experienced that at some point in our life, then we know exactly what it is like for the Thessalonians today. You see, we heard this reading from this tiny little book, this little letter by the Apostle Paul to his friends in the Christian church in the town of Thessalonica. And the issue behind the scene, the writing of this letter, is that it was written by Paul about the year 51, which is only about 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what Paul and Peter and all the other disciples of Jesus were teaching was that when Jesus ascended up into heaven, that once he got up there, he would be right back down upon the earth. As in, he would be up there and then he'd come right back down. But the problem was, he was running a bit late, it seemed. That the issue was that the second coming of Christ had not happened. But people were convinced that it was supposed to happen. That it would happen in their lifetime. That it would happen any day now. But it was delayed. It was like Jesus got stuck at the Casey's or in traffic or something. It didn't happen the first year or the 10th year or the 20th year, and it has not happened yet. And so people were wondering and they were waiting. And so the situation was even more pointed in that the people in the church in Thessalonica were starting to die. They were having funerals. We can imagine them having funeral dinners with the casseroles and the ham and the roast beef and the sandwiches and the deviled eggs and the pies and the cake and everything all together. They were celebrating the life well lived of their loved one. They were remembering them well and they were mourning their loss. But while they were mourning, they were wondering what was going to happen. They said things like, when Jesus comes back, what's going to happen to our friends who've died? They want to know, will we all be reunited again, or are we going to be separated from those who have already passed on? Will we see our loved ones when we get to heaven? They wondered. They weren't sure. They still didn't know, and so they asked Paul for his guidance. And what we heard in the reading today is his answer. In his mind, it's his pastoral and theological understanding. He says it's going to be like this. In some respects, that when Christ comes again, whenever that day is, all those who are dead and buried in Jesus Christ will be reunited with him by faith. And all those of us who are left here upon this earth will be reunited with everyone all together. So those who are gone and those who are left will be reunited in the midst of God's love. In fact, there was this old time hymn that was written way before I was born, that sometimes even in church we still sing today, this old hymn called When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. And in this hymn, it talks about this. It says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the time shall be no more and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, it says. It even says, on that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And the chorus goes on and on. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, wherever yonder is, when the roll is called, the hymn says, I'll be there. And what the hymn is saying is that we live with this unbroken cycle in Jesus Christ. We have a future narrative with Jesus, with all those that we've loved and lost. And we can't explain it. We don't know how it all works. Paul was doing his best to put it into paper. All we know is the hope of the gospel. The hope that when we're standing at the grave, telling our loved ones and friends goodbye, when we're mourning and weeping and crying, that's not the end of the story. It reminds us that we can't forget to look beyond the grave to life everlasting, that right now we only see in the mirror dimly, but someday we will see face to face. We're called to keep the faith and hope alive that this isn't all there is these days. And so Paul was giving the people this word about how to encourage us and keep on living here and now, that thinking about the end of time gives us a sense of purpose in these days. And so the question that the people had and the question that we have is, what do we do? They asked Paul, what do we do? Do we just wait around until we die? Wait around until the second coming, sitting on our hands and doing nothing at all? Should we be like those who watch the news and read the papers and read the Bible and try to guess the day when the second coming is going to happen? Do we just sit around and think, well, maybe it's next Tuesday, or maybe it's the Thursday after that? What should we do? The people wanted to know. Paul says you should not be sitting around, in fact. He says you should keep on keeping on the faith. Keep on encouraging each other to do what is right and to live for Jesus Christ. Now to me, this is the word that we need more than ever now. Because we don't have to mention, we already know and can name all the ways in which our world is broken and divided and fractured these days. And you know, if you've ever broken a bone in your life, that when you are broken, you are not at your best. Every little pain gets in the way. Every little hurt gets magnified. That is what life is like these days in 2020. But we know that the hope of the gospel gives us that the way that Paul has for us is a different way to live. In fact, the hope of the gospel tells us that there's more than life to this. There is more to life than just being full of bitterness and infighting, more to life than being full of strife and arguments that we face these days. The assurance of life everlasting and life to come gives us the challenge to make life better today. Here and now, in the living of these days, while we are waiting, we get to work for justice. While we are waiting, we get to work for the healing of God's people. While we are waiting, we get to love our neighbor as ourselves and help people in need in our town these days. Paul tells us to keep on encouraging each other because this is not the end of the story. We are not bound to this earth and this life these days. There is goodness not only at the end of time, not only in the funerals when there is the release from these earthly chains, but there is goodness to be found in the sharing of Jesus Christ here and now today. Thanks be to God. Amen.